Hey, good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be here. Good song service. I want to say I appreciate Kristen's short notice. Chris had to work today, and Greg's on a job today, and David Hood. And so anyway, I just met Chris in the back door and said, we need a song leader. So she just comes on up, and I appreciate the good job she did. And good music today. I'm telling you, we're blessed here with singing and the music. Good music today. Good to see everybody come this way. Got a few things I want to share with you as we get into the service. I do want to say, before we get any farther along in the service, that not only we appreciate Kristen, but I also want to say thank you. Greg couldn't be here today, but Greg Bradford brought his crew over here and cleaned the north end of this building this week. And I just, when you see him, you need to say thank you. We appreciate that, because that thing's high. It's hard to get to. You can't reach it. And he brings the equipment over here, puts a crew of guys up on the scaffolding, and did a good job of it. So if you see Greg, tell him, say, we appreciate what you've done. I want to talk about a little bit about being optimistic about things. All week we've saw the news, what's going on, and all the problems all over the world, and I'm not going to get into that much. But there's still room in this that we can be optimistic, because, I've read the end of this book, and guess what? We win. Praise the Lord. I know how it comes out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or happen this week, but I know in the end we come out winners. And, the Christians of this world, and so we can be optimistic. I heard a story about a man that was very optimistic in all things, said everything he did, everything he looked at, he just see the good side of it, so made him very optimistic. Said he fell off of a 10-story building, and as he got by a couple of floors, he said, this is not too bad. Yeah. Now, I don't know if y'all can be that optimistic or not, but as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we've got the right to be optimistic about things, although it seems the world's coming apart. Guess what? The Word says we're not of this world anyway, but we've got promise of a better to come, so we can be optimistic. That go over and read the back cover of this thing. Go over and read the back last chapter or two, and guess what? See who wins, And they can do anything they want. They can fight in Turkey, and they can run over people in France, and they can kill people in this nation. But our day's coming. Our day's coming. Jesus said, I will return, and he's coming back, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so as we start thinking about these things, the major thing I'd like to concentrate on today is about being prepared and ready. And preparation for this, it's in a name, and that name is Jesus. We're going to talk about the Son of God. We're going to talk about the sacrifice made on the cross of Calvary. We're going to talk about the one that's resurrected and at the right hand of the Father this day and time, because that's where the importance lies, that we be prepared for the ending of this thing, this world that we're in today. And I'm telling you, it's coming up. It's coming ahead. I'm not going to predict date and hour and date and time and all that. I can't, but I know it's closer today than it was yesterday. And let me tell you, to all the Christians, all the true believers, we come out winners. Praise the Lord. And so we can be optimistic. You might be like the man falling from the building and say, well, this ain't too bad yet. Come on, you think about it. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 just for a few minutes. Acts chapter 4. And we're talking about all in a name. We want to get this preached to everybody and get everybody acquainted with this name Jesus, because that's the most important name I guess we could ever know. And so when we look at this, I want you to see the importance of the Jesus that God sent to this world to pay the sin debt for all of us. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, it said, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you hold. And so it's talking about a healing process of God that had already taken place. And he said it all came through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then it starts into into the gospel. It said, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you hope. And I thought about the physical healing that had taken place. This lame man had got up and walked. He not only walked, he leaped and shouted and praised God. But I think about the spiritual healing also that goes with this name of Jesus. That if we're going to be spiritually whole, this has got to be in involvement with Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and His sin debt, our sin debt paid by Him on the cross of Calvary. And verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught to you builders, which has become the head of the corner. It said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In verse 12, the truth of the Word of God coming out very plain. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm seeing people seek salvation in all kind of ways today. And if it's without Jesus, it's to no avail. It won't accomplish anything. They're telling us very plain. You know, I still believe we're in an upside down world this day and time where people are believing a lie instead of the truth and taking the truth and making it a lie, that we've went upside down in the world this day and time. But I'm still glad to tell you that I've still got hope. And I've still got the promise of God that He's going to end this world that we know and begin a new one. So when we start talking about the truth, I'm telling you, there's no salvation in Mother Mary. There's no salvation in the Pope. There's no salvation, and I could spend a lot of time naming off a lot of false gods, but just to put it down very simple, He said it's about Jesus. That's where the salvation comes. That's what we have to believe, and that's what we have to accept for our salvation. Now, that's where I'm at as a preacher here today, that I'm concerned that everybody know that it's about Jesus. About this name, Jesus. About the power of God. Let's look over to Acts chapter 20 just for a few minutes. We're talking about salvation. I've told you there's a new day and a new world coming. And I want everybody to be prepared for it. In Acts chapter 20, if you'll turn over there with me. Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to start in verse 22. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Look at that with me. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so we're looking at Paul, and he said the most important thing in his life was to testify the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. He said it didn't matter about his life. It didn't matter what beset him. It didn't matter what happened to him. It was all about finishing that ministry with joy. The ministry that God had given him. And you know, I get to the point that a lot of times I can feel this same pressure in me that I need to tell a lost and dying world that it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, you know. And so many same denominations and so many doctrines in this world today are deleting and taking Jesus out. And we know there's no hope of salvation without Him. And so I can feel and understand what Paul felt. It's not about what happens to me or where I go or what befalls me, but it's about this testifying the gospel of the grace of God. In verse 25, and said, now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And Paul is saying, you know, you're not going to see me again. He said, I'm short time in the ministry God blessed me with. He could see his end approaching. You know, and as I age, I can understand that. We're coming to a point that we'll be no more. And so Paul, with the last thing he's doing, he said, I'm hoping that you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ that you might be saved and be prepared for the ending of this world that's coming. They had problems in his day, same as we got problems in this day. When he started saying, you're not going to see my face no more. And he started talking about maybe the last time they were going to hear this gospel of Jesus Christ. And no doubt he had hopes in his heart and his mind that they would receive it. And for a lot of them, it was going to be their last chance to hear this gospel. Well, I'm not going to bring this down to the point that this might be your last point. I could say this may be your last chance to hear the gospel, because I don't know if you'll make it through today. And you don't know if you'll make it through today or tomorrow or the next day or next week. We had a lady in our family this week killed in a car wreck. She went to Chattanooga that morning. No doubt, she didn't expect to die that day, but she did. And so we need to be prepared. Now, Paul's saying, you know, this might be the last time you see my face. Well, it's either because he wasn't coming back, probably so in that situation, but it could have been that they wasn't going to make it back either. In verse 26, it said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." I am pure from the blood of all men. That he had done the work, that he had been assigned of God. He had carried the ministry and given the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he said, if you don't believe and if you don't make it, I'm clear from your blood. And he said, of all men. I don't know that I could stay that quiet today. Maybe I hadn't put forth the effort that maybe Paul did in preaching Jesus Christ crucified, Son of God, paying the sin debt of the world. And you know, I look through this congregation today, and there's times I can sit and imagine, think, oh, okay, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell you, I'd sure hate to miss somebody. I mean, we'll have total recall. I'm not going to forget what you look like. I'm not going to forget your name. And if we get to heaven and you're not there, that'd be a burden, wouldn't it? I don't want to have that problem. Verse 27, he said he could be pure from the blood of all men. In verse 27, it said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In other words, he had not shunned. He had taken the opportunity given him to declare the counsel of God. In verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." It said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And he said, "I put an effort into this thing." And he said, "I want you to understand and take heed to yourself." He said that we need to feed the flock. Feed the flock. That they're educated in the Word of God. That they know about Jesus Christ. They know about forgiveness of sin. That when somebody comes in and preaches some other doctrine, that they can know and understand the difference. We're there, folks. They're trying to convince you this is right and that's right and all these things are right. Let me tell you, right is the Word of God. And if it's contrary to that, it's wrong. When I said upside down world, I meant it. We've got so many people that would rather receive a lie than to believe the truth. And that's where we're at. When we get down to this point that the Lord, and He's going to set things right, guess what? When the Lord returns, He will set things right. Because he'll be the one in power, he'll be the one in control, and he is the Son of God. His name is Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I'd rather do it now than have to be called on to do it later. And so when we come into this situation in our lives, that we need to understand that we need to be prepared for things that are coming. I'm very optimistic. Not about the world. I'm not too optimistic about things going on in the world. I'm not optimistic about our government or that we're going to get a new president that's going to make everything right. But I'm optimistic about the point that God says the Lord will return. And things are going to change at that point. Being prepared. Being prepared. That's where we need to be. In Romans chapter 10. A lot of questions are asked about the gospel. A lot of times people say, well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is very plain. The gospel is very simple. It's just to be received as it is. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. And I think about how it's nigh thee. In other words, it's close to you. It's not something you'll have to seek or search or hunt for. That if you're hearing this today, if you're in attendance in this congregation, that this word of God that is taught and preached from this precious holy word is sufficient for the salvation you need to be prepared for the world to come. I'm telling you, when we get right with God and we're a child of God, we've got hope. We can be optimist in the point that things are going to change and it'll be better for us. I've got nothing but better to expect. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And now there'll be the arguments come with people and say, "Well, I don't believe there's one verse in the Bible where everybody could get saved." I believe they are. I believe I just read it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people say, "Well, it takes this change, it takes that." This will bring change. When your heart changes and your mind changes and you start accepting this as the holy word of God, I believe people want to do better, but it's not based on their salvation, not based on that. It's based on this. And verse 10 gives the explanation, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You want to be optimistic about the things to come? Believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's got a plan for His children. And what I want to be sure of is, are you one of us? That's where we're at today. In verse 14 it said, "How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, when you come down to that point, that puts a lot of pressure on me. That if they're going to hear, I've got to do my job and perform my ministry that God has given me. And I think today, let me tell you, I think if you're sitting here today, I could stand and say, "I'm pure from their blood." That you've heard the truth. You've heard the word of God. And if you leave here rejecting, it won't be on me. Won't be my part, because this is all we can do. This is all we can do. I'm going to stop right there. Let's have a verse for song. I think that's as far as we need to go.